reading from four portions of scripture this evening. I've got a very simple message for you this evening. One of the reasons why I love my Bible is this. It tells me who God is, and it tells me who God is not. And our four points that I want to speak to you on today, I want to focus on those two little phrases. God is, and God is not. Simple as that. That's all we're going to be looking at together in the next 20 minutes. So first, if we can turn to 1 Corinthians and chapter 14, if you're following along in your Bible, 1 Corinthians and chapter number 14, we'll look at these verses in the order that I'll read them. So we'll deal with the first two, God is not, first and foremost. So 1 Corinthians 14 and verse number 33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, praise God. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. Now, if you can turn over a couple of books in your New Testament to the book of Galatians, the letter to the Galatians written by Paul the Apostle, Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 7, Galatians 6 and verse number 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And then finally, if we can turn to the first epistle of John. First epistle of John, we're going to look at two verses in this particular letter. First epistle of John. And starting in chapter number 1 and verse number 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And then finally, over to the fourth chapter of 1 John. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, or the atoning sacrifice, for our sins. God is love. These are just the four points that I'd like to cover with you tonight. We trust that the Lord will bless his word. And we'll start with that very simple one. My God, which I preach to you tonight, is not the author of confusion. There's much confusion in this world today, my dear friends. You can go out into this world and you can find all types of different confusion in this world. The pinnacle of confusion in our world today is perhaps that they are teaching children. They are teaching children boys that they can be girls, and children girls that they can be boys. It's absolute confusion. It's not what Scripture says. We're assigned our gender at birth, and God is very clear on that. And that's what the Word of God is saying when it's saying God is not the author of confusion. God is absolutely crystal clear in his Word. And I praise God for that this evening. God does not want you to be confused. He does not want you to live in darkness. God does not want you to scratch around in the darkness and not be able to find him. No, God is not the author of confusion, my dear friends. There is an author of confusion in this world, the devil. He wants everyone to be confused. He wants everyone to live in darkness. He doesn't want anyone to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will try and confuse you in any situation, any way that he can. But my God, who I preach to you tonight, is not the author of confusion. He is the author of peace. Praise God. My God wants you to have peace in your hearts tonight, my dear friends. The Bible says this, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It also says this, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. My God and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, they want you to be saved. They want you to be at peace. They don't want you to be confused anymore, my dear friends. They want you to have eternal life, and they simply want you to do this. Acknowledge that you're a sinner before the sight of God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and confess him amongst men. That's what my God wants for you this evening, my dear friends. He's not the author of confusion. You know, this whole passage, the whole context of 1 Corinthians 14 is that people might be coming into the church, and that the way the Christians would act was acting, it may cause confusion to anyone from outside that was coming in who maybe wanted to get saved. I tell you something, if we say anything confusing from this platform, you come and tell us straight after this meeting, because that's not from God if it's confusing. We just want to be as plain as we can with you tonight. We are all sinners who have come short of the glory of God. We all need to be saved. And the Lord Jesus Christ came down from heaven. He died upon a cross for you. He shed his precious blood for you, my dear friends, so that you can be saved. And all you simply have to do tonight is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can have eternal life. You can have peace with God. You can know the one who's not the author of confusion, but who is the author of peace. He desires that for you, my dear friends. You know, we set up these meetings because we want you to be saved. We set up these meetings, and we've been preaching away at the gospel all these last 2 weeks because we want you to come to the knowledge of the truth, and we want you to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. We want you to repent of your own ideas, turn away from them, and put your trust in the one who can save your soul, the Lord Jesus. Let me tell you something. Our desire for you to be saved has not got anything on God's desire for you to be saved. I have, believe you me, as I try and preach my heart out tonight, I have got a love for you in my heart. I want you to be saved, but that's nothing compared to the love that God has in his heart for you. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, shall have everlasting life. My dear friends, you want to ask me how simple the gospel is? It's just been summed up in one sentence for you. I believe it's 27 words in that one sentence. A brother will come and correct me after the meeting. 27 words, and I can tell you what God's great plan of salvation is for you. If you don't come, you will perish. That's in that verse. But God wants you to come, because he loved you and he sent his Son to die for you. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. And you know what? How far does his love, how far does his peace stretch? Well, he wants everyone to come. Everyone in Coleshill, he wants everyone in Coleshill to come. He wants everyone in the world to come to him. Nobody is barred from heaven. But to get to heaven, you have to come through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way. And you have to come to him tonight where you've still got chance. Peace is offered now. And think of it like this. If there's two generals at war and they are battling away with one another, it might be that the general who's winning, he offers terms of peace to the ones who's losing. And he says to that general, you have 24 hours to come back to me and tell me whether you accept these conditions of peace. Well, if that general does not come back within 24 hours, you better believe that that war is going to carry on. You've only got today. You don't even have 24 hours. You've got now as you sit on your seat. You can come to the Lord Jesus Christ and you can have peace in your soul. and you can have peace with God in heaven. You can have your sins forgiven, and you can know for absolute assurance that you are on your way to heaven. Praise God for that tonight, this evening. Praise God for that. All you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all these Christians in this room did, you know. They didn't do anything special. Believing on something, it's not something that you pat yourself on the back for after you've done it. God has given the testimony of his Son. His Son came into this world to die for you. And if you believe that, you will be saved.
Amen.
God wants you to have peace. He's made it so simple for every single one of us. He desires you not to be confused, but to be at peace with him. The next verse we looked at, Galatians 6, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man shall sow, that shall he also reap. Now, dear friends, there's many people on the outside of these walls tonight, up and down our country and around our world, who think that God can be mocked. Who think that they don't have to answer to the holy God of heaven one day, and therefore his name is blasphemed all the day long. And not only do people not care about their sin, but they absolutely revel in it. Believe you me, I used to be one of them. Yeah. I'm not looking down my nose at anyone. I used to mock at God, thinking, well, that doesn't matter to me. I don't care what God has for me in eternity. But let me tell you this, God is not mocked. That verse starts with this, be not deceived. There's many in our world tonight who are deceived by this fact, that they do not think that they're going to have to stand before God one day. Every single person in this world is going to have to stand before God one day. Every single person. Now, the Christians will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour. They will go to the judgment seat of Christ, and their life will be analysed, and judgment will be passed on their life, not based on their sins, but how they served him, and how they loved him, and what they did for the Lord Jesus. But the sinner, they too will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, because all judgment has been committed to the Son. But not this time as Saviour, but as Judge. And their sins will be remembered before that great white throne. And they will be cast off into the lake of fire. And I was just reading the most terrifying verse in the whole Bible today. Revelation chapter 20, when they're cast off into that lake of fire, they are cast off into it to be tormented forever and ever. Never ending. Let me ask you, can God be mocked? No. God cannot be mocked. He is not mocked. Whatever we sow in this life, we shall reap in a life to come. If you go before the great white judgment throne with your sins attached to you, you better believe this, that God knows everything about you, every single sin you've ever committed, everything that you've done in the dark, everything that you can hide from anyone else, God knows about it all. And he will judge you in absolute, utter, inflexible righteousness, my dear friends. You do not want to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ as your judge. Let me tell you that. You know, when my Lord was on this earth, in Luke chapter 5, it says that people in the room, as my Lord Jesus was operating in that particular room, that they were thinking things in their hearts, and they were considering things in their mind. And do you know what it says in Luke chapter 5? It says the Lord Jesus knew what was in their hearts. He knew exactly what they were thinking. And he turned round to them and spoke to them based on what they were thinking in their hearts without them even ever uttering a word. He knows everything. Absolutely everything, folks. You cannot hide anything from God. Whatever a man sows, he shall reap. And do you want to know the worst seed that you can sow on this earth? It's the seed of unbelief in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the cataclysmic climax of all sin. You know, I walk past people in this street and we try to hand tracts out to them and they turn around to me and they say, that's all right for you, I just don't believe it. Like it's a small thing not to believe the gospel. I just don't believe it. That's the main thing. In fact, that's all God wants from us. God has given the testimony of his son and he just wants you to believe it. He just wants you to accept what is in this book, the Bible, and accept that the Lord Jesus Christ loves you and died for you. And the moment that you accepted that, well, let me tell you something, you'll sow a different seed. You'll sow a seed of belief. And I tell you something, you will reap eternal life from that seed. That is the best seed that can ever be sown. The best seed that I ever sown in this life is not any of the good works that I've tried to do after I've been saved. It's not any of that. It's the day that I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the moment that I trusted him, I was saved for all of eternity.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah indeed. The moment I trusted in Christ, I was saved for all of eternity. God is not mocked. Don't be deceived. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. So God is not the author of confusion. He's not mocked. God is light. God is light. You know, if we should have read verse 4, because John says in verse number 4, he says, these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. And then he says, and this is the message that we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. John, are you thinking okay here? You just said you wrote unto us for joy. Surely you want to start off with God is love, not God is light. Let me explain to you why he started off with God is light. The light of God speaks to his absolute purity. The fact that there is no darkness in him, there's no sin in him, he's absolutely perfect, righteous and holy. Now they're not just words that we throw out, these are the characteristics of our God. He's perfect in all of his ways. There's nothing wrong with him at all. He is light itself. And there's no darkness in him. I can't say that about my own heart. There's much darkness in my own heart. We can't say that about this world around us. There's much darkness in this world around us. But God is light. And I tell you something, if you're going to come to God, you're going to have to walk in the light. And that's where it becomes difficult, you see. Because we like the darkness, because our deeds are evil. It says in John chapter 3. But if we are to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and to believe on him, we're going to have to walk in the light. And I tell you what, that light can be piercing at times. It can pierce right through your soul. It pierced right through mine. And it'll show you just how dark you are in your soul. It really will. So how on earth is John starting his letter off with God is light and saying that your joy might be full? Let me ask you a question. How could we trust God if he was not light? You can trust God because he is light and in him is no darkness at all. I couldn't trust God's light without that. I couldn't trust God's love if there was darkness in him.
Mm.
He could lie to me. But because there's no darkness in him at all, and because he is light, I know for absolute certain that I can trust him and his son. I can trust what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary, because God is light and in him is no darkness at all. I can trust that when he says, if I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll take me to heaven when I die, I can trust it, because God is light and in him is no darkness at all. I can trust God in everything in my life. I can commit it all to him. Why? Because God is light and in him is no darkness at all. That is marvelous. Have you ever spoken to someone before, and as you're speaking to them, you're thinking in your head, you've got anxiety in your heart, and you're just wondering, can I trust this person? They're telling me all this stuff. Can I really trust what this person's saying to me? Happens to me all the time, to be honest with you. And I'm sure people thinking of me all the time. But you can trust God.
Yeah.
And you can trust his son. You know, as you read through the Gospels, I was just speaking to a man out there. As you read through the Gospels and you review the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, it's like drops from heaven. There's no lying in there. There's not even any exaggeration. It's just pure, unadulterated light and truth coming straight out of the lips of my Lord Jesus Christ. And I know that I can trust him. I know that I can rest in him, because he's light. You know, it is hard to step out into the light. I won't lie to you. And let me tell you this, it's not easy to walk as a Christian. You know, when you get saved, when you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God, he comes and takes residence in you. God blesses you with his Holy Spirit and he takes up residence in your being. And I'll tell you something, you have much more of a consciousness to sin when the Holy Spirit of God comes and takes up residence in you. You see the sin in the world, yes, but you actually see the sin in your own heart. And I'll tell you something, sometimes it's hard to walk in the light. I'm not saying it's easy. I loathe myself sometimes when I have to come to God and confess the same sin again this week that I've had to confess over and over again. But I tell you something, there's no way I'd go back to walking in the darkness. No way I'd go back to walking in the dark. I didn't have a clue where I was or what I was doing before I got saved. But now I can walk in the light as he is in the light. And what happens when you walk in the light as he is in the light? The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses you from your sins. That's the great benefit of walking in the light, my dear friends. You have your sins cleansed. How do you walk in the light? You just simply come to Christ and believe on him. That's it. That's all it is. And you'll be walking in the light, my dear friends. So God, he's not the author of confusion, but of peace. Not mocked. God is light. God is love. Now, I'll tell you straight off the bat, as soon as I come to a verse like this, the first thing that I know is this, my absolute inability to preach from a verse like this. How do you even explain that? God is love. I'm not even sure I could give you a proper accurate definition of love, to be honest with you. It's a remarkable thing, isn't it, love? Springs up out of nowhere. All of a sudden you find you have love for something or someone. And you just get taken away with this wondrous passion of love for this thing or something. But let me tell you this. I'm glad that there's other verses around this verse, because it helps me to describe it. It says God is love. And how was that manifested? The love of God was manifested to us because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. God has displayed his love for you, my dear friends. He's displayed his love for me. He's displayed his love for the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
And he's done so in the person of his son. You know, we could not properly understand anything about love were it not for God, because God is love. Don't believe what you see out in this world today. This isn't love out in this world, that's mostly lust. But God is love. And God sent his son to prove his love to you and to prove his love to me. You know, true love is this, it gives.
Mm-hmm.
True love, it gives, it sacrifices. You can tell someone's true love for you if they are willing to sacrifice for you.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got an important thing going on, but the person who claims to love you says he can't be there, or she can't be there for a very menial, pointless reason, well, that's not great love, is it? If they're not willing to support you in that thing that you're doing. God has demonstrated his love towards us. God commends his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God saw us in our situation. He saw us right down at the bottom, dead in trespasses and sins, without any hope in this world, and heading to a lost eternity. And what did God do? Did he say, I want nothing to do with those creatures of mine. I want nothing to do with those who have gone away from me and who have sinned and continuously blasphemed my name. I want nothing to do with them. Is that what God said? No. Why not? Because God is love. God has reached out to each and every single one of us, and he's given us his son. We've already quoted it, but we quote it again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you know everything that the Lord Jesus Christ went through for you and for me? It's just a great display of God's love. The nails through his hands and through his feet, the lashings on his back, the crown of thorns upon his head, the mockery of men, the spitting in his face, the ones who slapped him around the face, the ones who put robes on him and mocked him and who kicked him and who did all those things, then nailed him to a cross. And then he suffered in 3 hours of darkness on the tree for you and for me. Why? To display God's great love for you and for me. And so that you might be saved. So that you might have your sins forgiven. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And it's a great display of God's love. And I tell you what, I love the image of the Lord's arms being open wide there. I don't love the image of him being crucified on Calvary. But I do love the image of his arms open wide, willing to welcome anyone who would come and taste of his love. You know, that's what this really all boils down to, you know, folks. We're not here preaching to you a religion tonight. Not at all. We're preaching to you about a relationship. Do you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you put your trust in him? And are you walking with him day by day? And are you experiencing his love for you? You know, the Apostle Paul, he once said this. He said, the Son of God who loved me and who gave himself for me. You see how personal that is? Not the Son of God who loved the world. The Son of God does love the world. But the Son of God who loved me and who gave himself for me. That's what it has to come down to tonight, folks. Personal dealings with God. And let me tell you this. You'll not be disappointed when you come to him. Because you find one when you come to him. Arms open wide, ready to embrace you, with all the love of God, and he's demonstrated it already, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
So we trust the Lord will bless his word.